How many of you are glad to be here tonight?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm just going to go with English and in Tamil. I understand. I know my wife's cry. She sits in the Tamil service all day long. So I can understand your sister a little bit if you don't, you know, understand some things. But I'm going to give you a gist of the message in between, so I'll go back and forth. And so, but before that, has any of you sat in a service that you do not understand? I never have. Unless the Holy Spirit has to reveal those things, the messages, the songs, and everything to us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I go sit in a service, and though I understand every word they say, you'll feel sleepy sometimes. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, you'll be sleepy the whole time. And so I want you to feel comfortable, and because wherever the Holy Spirit is, you know, and you will feel comfortable because the Lord is here and we're all His people. And also, we welcome you here tonight. And you fit right in here, sister. So you fit right in. So no problem. Amen. So I'm going to, I know that last time when I was here, dear auntie requested that I would share dad's testimony. And I remember that. That was a couple of years ago. And I'm going to share my dad's testimony before I want to share something. I know we don't have a whole lot of time, but I'm trying to make it as squeeze as much as in as possible. Let's just bow our heads and ask the Lord to be with us tonight and speak to us. Whether it's 20 minutes or whether it's an hour long, just one word from Him is more than enough. We thank you, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you brought us together. It is not by accident, but you have purpose in your heart that we should be here tonight and hear your word. And Lord, we thank you that through your mercy and your grace that you have brought us here. And it is by your strength and despite all the challenges and struggles that we face in our lives, and that you brought us here and you have put us in this place to worship you and lift our hands up to you and give you glory and honor. I pray that you speak to us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And as Pastor Anna was saying, and he's known me since I was maybe in grade school, 8th grade, 7th grade, I don't know when, but since I was little, and he's seen me grow, and also many times he'll push me to preach. And I don't think anybody else, that even my dad would tell him, Vishu, take care of him. You know, just, you know, and, you know, he's, you know, just look after him. And he doesn't listen to me, he'll listen to you. So it's such a joy to come back here. And you always feel like when you're under someone and ministering, you feel very comfortable. You're not worried about making mistakes, because you know that people that love you, surrounded by the people that love you. And that gives you the courage and the boldness. And I know the Holy Spirit with us and speak through us too, but that also helps. And so, let me get on with the point here. My dad, like Anna was saying, my dad was born a Hindu. So, if I want to start with my dad, I need to start about my grandfathers. My grandfather, and my grandfather's name was Amavase. And that means blue, dark moon. And my grandmother's name is also Amavase. And Mr. and Mrs. Amavase was very easy, right? And so imagine the light they have. The name itself gives you a glimpse. You know, they're both dark moons, you know, and their color of the complexion didn't help either. And they were, you know. And so my dad was born in that family, and his name was Viraraghavan, which is a Hindu god's name. And growing up, when he was born, the astrologers, you know, the customs back in those days, and some, it still is in some of those places, people would still take him and say, how, just explain my son's future, what would it be like? So that's what happened in his life. So when they counseled the astrologer what this child will be like, the astrologer basically told him, he is an unlucky child, so it's better that he die. If he's alive, everybody else in the family will die, and anything that you do will not amount to anything. So this was the history written by an astrologer about my dad. So when he was born, they decided to kill him, put him to death. But somehow, at the mercy of the midwife, she said, well, you know, why don't you, you know, hand the baby over to me? I'll raise him. And so basically, I think as the story goes, he was raised by him, and then years went on. He never went to school because he was told that you're born an unlucky child. There's no point in, you know, giving you any education. So he never went to school. But finally, I'm going to make the long story short, so I'm cutting down a lot of the details. So when he went to school, he was about 18 years old, and he was in sixth grade. Imagine a young man that's 18 years old in a sixth grade, and he said the teachers looked like students, and he looked like the teacher. And he had no clue about English, and not even Tamil, the language that we speak, and he didn't have any clue that either. And so, they teach you a bit of English, so they tell him to stand, or they teach you what is stand, and what is sit, and basic things. So when he was in the class, you know, he said, when the teacher said stand, he was sitting. He didn't understand. Those are very simple words, and everybody would understand, but he didn't have any clue. And then when teacher said sit, he stood. And so I'm just giving a glimpse of what it's like that. So that's how he went to school. But he became a buddy buddy with the teacher, and because he was like an adult, helping the teacher buy him lunch and this and that. Back in those, you gotta understand the small village setup. And these things are allowed back in those days. So he would be a teacher's help, basically, not as a student, but so he'd buy things and, in fact, bribe him in many ways. So he passed through all the classes. And so finally he came to 10th grade. 10th grade, they back in those days, they had a different term for it. And so that is what you call it, a major exam, which basically you go on to college after that. So this is, you know, it's an exam that's done by government. So in that, so the questions that would not come from the local school, they would come from somewhere else. So then he got the question papers, and he's looking at the questions, and he wants to write all the answers. Because he's so friendly with the teachers and he's buddy with all the teachers basically gave him a book and he said, you just look at the answers and you write and move on with your life. And we'll take care of you. Somebody comes in, you know, as you know, we'll take care of that. So my dad never studied. So you couldn't know where to find the answers in the book. This just sounds like some of the Christians. They don't know what book to find in the Bible. You tell them something, they have no clue where is Revelation and where is Matthew. So he's sitting in the classroom with an open book, yet he failed. So he failed all the subjects because he didn't know where the answers are. So as Christians, we should be aware of our scriptures and the Bible and where the scriptures are, where the books are, where the chapters are. Now I'm so happy to see that kids come out, you know, they're saying scriptures, memorizing it. I mean, those are treasures. You know, I try to memorize now, I can't. I try to memorize still today, but the things that I memorized when I was young, I remember those, but the things that I'm memorizing now, I forget the next day. So it's important that we teach. I'm so happy. I was actually thinking, the last time I remember, you know, they were here quoting the scriptures, and I was thinking, you know, how it made me feel so happy, and I was happy to see the kids again to recite those scriptures without looking at them. So anyway, so that's what happened in my dad's life. So he had an open book, but he couldn't find the answers because he never studied before. So he failed. But he did pass one subject because someone else wrote the paper for him. So, and he passed the one subject. And so that was life. And then my granddad decided that, you know, he'll get him a job because he didn't amount to anything. We'll get him a job in Chennai. So I think it was, I don't know what company it is. I think it's VGP. I think before that was like Vasanthanko. First you went into that. And then you started to, back. This was in the early, late, mid-60s. I think mid-60s and late-60s. And he went as a salesman. So he would go in a van with a team of people. And so you got to understand the rituals. He's the one in charge of the team. And he would do the rituals, all the rituals. There. So early in the morning, he would get up. He would go to the temple. And then before the van, before they leave in the van to make all the sales calls. And he would do all the worship and everything before they go. So he was in charge of that. So he was doing everything. And they would go door to door, sell things. So back in those days, I hear that wristwatches were just coming and they were famous. And the transistor radios, those are small radios with the battery operated ones. They are pretty common. And then easy chairs. And this is what they call them. There's a little a chair that's kind of like a lazy boy and recliner chairs. And those are the things that are new back in those times. So they were coming in. So he would go around and sell these things. So as they were traveling, they saw a group of people like us. And so he thought, instead of going all over the places, he said, there's a group of people. Let's just wait when they, you know, leave the group. We'll just sell so that we don't have to go door to door. So they waited, while they were waiting in that meeting, or you didn't know there was a meeting or a church or anything, but it was actually a church service. So they went and asked a pastor of that church, the group, and he goes, what are you doing? And he goes, let me go back. So they were waiting for him, and the pastor called these guys were waiting. They called him, and he said, you guys are here, and then he actually led them to salvation, some of them. And he told, and then my dad asked this pastor, so, I do business, but I go door to door, I try to sell things, but nobody comes to me. But here, what kind of business do you do? There's so many people around you. And the pastor turned around and told him, it's heavenly business. And see, my dad always wanted to be successful because he was always told that he was never amounting to anything. He wanted to rewrite the history of the astrologer. So, and, that was his thing that he had in his heart. So he said, well, then if it's a heavenly business, why don't you teach me? I want to become a good businessman too. I want to do that business. And he gave him an appointment. He said, you can come to this place and see me, and then we can discuss about those things. So on August 22nd, 1971, and the pastor told him to come and meet him. So he goes to his house. Pastor's not there, his wife told him he's in that Pallavaram. Pallavaram is a place in Chennai, India, and South India, and it's right across Chennai Airport. And there's a hill, and so in that hill, and the pastor will be there. You go see him. So you went to his house. The wife told him that go see him in that hill. The pastor will be there. So she gave him a Bible. And back in the 70s, it was 1971, the Bible is not as compact as we have it today, and those are big Bibles. And that's what he had. So he said, and he asked the pastor's wife, and he goes, what is this? And she said, this is the business book. And, you know, he never really studied in school, so he wasn't very thrilled about the size of the book. And he said, well, when do I have, you know, when I'm going to study this and then become a businessman? So he said he put it on his shoulder, and because it was a big enough Bible to keep it on his shoulder. So he carried that and then went to that hill. So at that hill, and he went and sat down under a tree, and he was pondering about his life, but pastor is not there. Pastor didn't come, he didn't show up. And so he was pondering about his life, what happened prior to that incident. And he had tried to commit suicide 3 times. And he said every time he would hear a voice saying, stop it, or put it down. He's trying to hang himself once, and he said he had a voice saying, don't do it. So he would hear this voice all 3 times. And while he was sitting at that hill, and he heard the same, and while he was sitting, he heard the same voice saying, turn to Mark chapter, I believe it was Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 24, or 21 to 23. And you can turn there if you want. So it talks about from 20 to 23 in my Tamil translation, and it talks about all the things that come from within a person. And as you read these things, and he heard this voice, he never heard turned the Bible over, so when he turned it, he directly went to that passage and he started to read that. So as he was reading that, he was, the passage talks about everything that comes from within us. And he talks about, who in the world write about my life in this book? This is what he thought. And as he was thinking that, Jesus Christ walked in front of him. Do you hear me that? Can you hear me? As he was reading this passage and he was thinking that, who in the world wrote my life in this book? Jesus walked in front of him. Never know about Christianity, never heard of Christ, and he said, I am the Lord and Savior. When your parents try to kill you when you're a baby, it was me that saved you. When you try to commit suicide, it was me that saved you. And I am the Savior of this world. And he had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a vision, it's not a dream. Just like I'm talking to you, he came in and talked to him. He said he started to cry and cry and cry. And he said Jesus laid hands on him. He said his whole body was covered with blood. And he said, I forgive your sins. He said, by 10:30 in the morning till 1 o'clock, Jesus spoke with him. And he told him all the things that he has to do for him in the ministry. So that is how he got saved. And he said, as he was filled with, after the sins were forgiven, he said, this is not enough for you. You need to be baptized with Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. And as soon as he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he said he began to speak in tongues. He never spoke before. He never had Christians teach him how to speak in tongues. I never heard these things, but he began to speak in tongues. As he was speaking in tongues, Jesus said, this is not enough for you. You need to be baptized with fire. And he said, he was baptized with fire. When that happened, he said, he was thrown several feet away. And from that time forward, he went out to preach the gospel. So he went back to work after the encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, and then he told that the Lord actually led him in every way. He didn't have any. He didn't go to Bible school. He never had Christians. And so the Lord led him in everything. You know, in fact, he was baptized. The Lord told him, You need to go be baptized. So go find this pastor and get yourself baptized. So they went, and then he went to the pastor, and the pastor said, I need to be baptized. And the Lord told me that I should be baptized. And he went, and then they went to, there is a lake called, in Chennai, it's Porur Lake. And he said, that's where they walked from Pommal, and they walked to Porur Lake. And then he was baptized in that lake. And he said, what kind of name? Because he had a Hindu god name, he wanted to change his name. He said, the pastor's name was James. And he never had joy in his life. He said he because the way he was raised and things, never had joy. So he said he wanted his Santosham. Santosham means joy. So he was named James Santosham. That was his encounter with the baptism. And then he has the pastor said, now what do I do now? He said, well, I cannot guide you. I didn't even see Jesus, but you saw Jesus. He will guide you. Go on your way. So he went on from there, and then he went to work. He said he couldn't work. Everyone that he sees, he started talking about the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ to everyone. Anyone, he couldn't even sell. He said he was a good salesman. He was a team leader. In fact, they would break a coconut before every day. According to the Hindu customs, they would break the coconut, and they had some kind of, what do they call this, the fire thing. And they do those all those rituals, and give everybody a packet of cigarettes. This is just, they give everybody a packet of cigarettes, do the ritual, break the coconut, and they go on their way to make sales. Now, what he does is that he couldn't do anything. Everyone that he sees is telling about the Lord Jesus Christ and the experience that he had. And they thought, what happened to him? In fact, they take him to a mental hospital and checked him. Because he cannot do anything but talk about the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was his conversion experience. So from then on, there are so many miracles and miracles. I can sit here and talk to you for another an hour and a half, and I can share you about 10% of the stories. So there's so many stories, because how the Lord led him, because he had no clue about anything, because the Lord had to teach him. He, you know, whenever he asked about heaven, the Lord would show him heaven. This is what it's like. He would ask him about something, and the Lord would show him, okay, this is what this is like. That's what that is like. Like what Anna was saying about he was raised dead body. Two dead bodies were raised in his ministry. One of them was my uncle, my Chittapa. And he was in 10th grade. He had some kind of fever and he died in the village. And then you see, he came home from the ministry during the day. And then he said he went into the room that he was laid. His body was laid. At night, he closed the door behind him. And he can hear everybody saying in the village, that because you went against our gods took revenge and killed your brother. So he went inside the room, closed the door behind him, and he knelt down and he prayed. So he prayed all night long. His brother's body was laying dead on the table there, and he was kneeling down and he was praying. According to what he said, at 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus walked into the room. He said he was on his knees from evening till morning 4 o'clock. He was on his, he said he didn't even get up off his knees. He was on his knees and he was praying. At 4 in the morning, Jesus walked into the room and he said, not only, this is for some of you can't even understand these things. Because, let me tell you, I want to say this. As he didn't come alone. Sadhu Sundar Singh came with him. I don't know how many of you heard about Sadhu Sundar Singh. And with Sadhu Sundar Singh, it was Moses. Moses came with him. Jesus introduced Sadhu Sundar Singh and Moses to my dad. In that room, it's not like he's having a dream. He's getting up and talking to them. And he said, but Jesus, he said, Sadhu Sundar Singh has suffered many things like you have. That's how he introduced Sadhu Sundar Singh to him. And he introduced Moses. I know for some of you it's hard to digest because we live in a time that we become very skeptical of things and we question things. But this is what happened. So after he introduced, Jesus touched my dad and he said, Are you discouraged, my son? And my dad turned and said, why are you so late? See, that's the kind of relationship that he has with the Lord and Savior. So I know we're saying it's a very rare breed. I got a little tickled when Jason was making announcements. Anybody come after 4, you call us. I don't know what time the service starts. So he gets up and he goes, tells, you know, son, are you discouraged? He said, Lord, why are you so late? And he said, Jesus walked with him and he touched my Chittapa, my uncle. He said, as soon as Jesus touched him, he rose from the dead. You know the song that he said, the song that he said, Yenakai Jeevan Vittavare. That's as soon as he sat down, he starts singing the song. The song in English, if you translate it, it's like, the Lord that died for me. So this is, I can go on and on and on and about stories. This is just one incident in this ministry that happened. He's still today, as he walks in totally different level than what I've seen. And that's the kind of grace that's measured that he walks in. And So, I can tell you other stories, but I want to share something, some scriptures with you before I close. I want you to turn to First Peter chapter 5, verse 7.
Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Amen? Amen. Amen. Casting all your cares on who?
On him.
On who? On the Lord Jesus Christ, because what he does, he cares for you. But you know what? Some of us were so stubborn, we want to hold on to those cares. We figure that, you know, it's too much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me help him. But the Bible tells us, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. I like the way it says in Tamil, because sometimes some of the things that, you know, I like it, like reading in Tamil, though, you know, it's because it makes sense to you.
அவர் உங்களை விசாரிக்கிறவர் ஆனபடியால் உங்கள் கவலைகளை எல்லாம் அவர் மேல்
வைத்து விடுங்க. Today, I just want you to tell you, because he cares for you, just put everything upon him. I don't care what's that your concern is today, that what you're going through. You know, some of the mothers that I see, you know, the children are in America and they're in India. So they're worried. Oh, my children are in America. Oh, go see them. They come here. They're with their children. Now they're still there worried. You know why? Because they left the home over there. Who's going to look after the home? So it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in India or in America, worry is the same thing. It's going to come after you. So the Bible tells us, because he's the one that cares for you. You know, I like this. I know every end of every service that we do this. I mean, I like this scriptures. Psalms 103 verse 1. What does it say? Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul,
all that is within me, bless his
holy name. We all know this, right? In Atmavay Kartare Stotri. In Murulame, Avurudiye, Parishutte, Namate Stotri. Idu nama theriyamale enna pannuvom? Solluvom. We say these things without know the meaning of, because we said it so many times from our childhood age. We said it over and over and over and again, because if we just say it out of habit, not understanding the meaning of it. But you know what? Jesus did everything for you. And he said, I took everything, all the cares upon me, so you be free. Just praise me. Amen?
Amen.
You came here and you gave all your burdens to me. So when you leave, you praise me before you go. Because look at the scripture. This is what the scripture tells us. Can you put that up in English, please? Because I can read it in Tamil. So if you keep it in English, it'd be great. Thank you.
In Atmavay Kartare Stotri, in Murulame Avarude Parisutha Namathe Stotri, in Atmavay Kartare Stotri, Avarukku Sagala Upakarangalaiyum
Maravade. Don't forget the wonderful things that he's done in his life. Because you put the cares upon him. So when we go back, because, well, let's just think about all the benefits that's happened in our life. You know what? If you look at the scriptures 3, 4, and 5, it talks about his death, salvation. I mean, I don't want to go in detail. You know, it talks about it because of his death. You know, verse 3. அவர் அக்கிரமங்களை எல்லாம் மன்னித்து உன் நோய்கள் எல்லாம். He did that on the cross. It talks about his death on the cross. So because what he did on the cross, there's that benefit for you. So don't forget the benefits. So it's a continuation of those scriptures. And verse 4. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with the loving kindness and tender mercy. In other words, he redeemed you from the damnation of hell, and he took you over to give you
heaven.
Amen.
Amen? So, oh my soul, bless him. Bless his holy name. Praise him and forget not his benefits. And verse 5. He satisfies your mouth with good things. You know? He had to be a living God to satisfy you. A provider can only provide if he's alive. If I'm dead, I cannot provide for my family. Is that right? Let's say my wife, you know, I'm dead. My wife keeps a dead body and he's been providing for the last 18 years. He will still continue to provide. I'm dead. That's not going to happen. You have to be alive to provide. So he's a living God. On the cross, he died on the cross so that we're forgiven. Amen? And on the cross, that he gives us eternal life, forgiveness of sin. And he saved us and he redeemed us. And through being alive, that he is satisfying us. What else? Now we go back and read the first two scriptures. Because he's done all these things for us. And he goes, oh my soul, bless the Lord. Oh my soul. And all that is within me. And bless his holy name. And bless the Lord, oh my soul. And forget not all his benefits. Because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you feel right now. You know, some of us, we get one thing done and then worry about the next thing. But just remember that he was faithful in the last. He'll be faithful in the next. He'll be faithful on the next one. He'll be faithful in the next one. And just praise him. Think about those benefits. And just praise him. And cast all your cares upon him. Because he did those on the cross. He died for us. He risen up. He was raised from the dead. And he's still alive. And he's satisfying us. Amen?
Amen.
And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God of Abraham. He's the God of Isaac. He's the God of Apostle Paul. And he's God of you and I today. Amen? So I just want you to be encouraged with the testimonies and also to the scripture. But cast all your burdens upon him. And say, Lord, you have done so much on the cross for me. Why should I carry these things? The only burden that you should have some burden. Let me tell you what burden you should have is for the souls. That's the only burden the Lord expects us to have so that we may win some souls while we're on this earth. Nothing else matters. That's why he said, cast all your cares upon me. Anything that concerns you in this world, cast it upon me. Amen? Yeah. Today, I just want you to be encouraged. What you're going through in life, just put it in the Lord's hand and he will take care of it. Amen? So we're going to read that scripture last one more time and we're going to close. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. So let's all turn to that. I know we all memorized that scripture. We don't need to turn, but let's just turn anyway. If you want to read in Tamil, you can go ahead and read in Tamil. If you want to read in English, you can read in English. I think, go ahead and should we read it?
Yep.
Okay. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now turn to your neighbor and say, he cares for you. So with that, let's just close our eyes and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, you are so concerned about us. Lord, you know the needs before we can even ask. Before we open our mouth, you know that what our need is.
and what our struggles are and what we're going through. Lord, I pray that you satisfy each and every one with your benefits and with your goodness and with your mercies, O God. Lord, I pray that you carry them. You have carried them this far, and you are faithful to carry even further. And we thank you for being our Savior. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray you bless each and every one, their families and their children. Lord, I pray the enemy will not try to attack. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.